Intervju Radija Študent.
Dan, lep pozdrav v Ereš intervjuju. Tokrat gostimo britanski legendarni elektronski dvojec Plet, ki danes večer nastopi na festivalu v sklopu serije Sonika, torej gre za Sonika Spring Edition. Pred njim nastopi še domač dvojec New Wave Syria in pa še prej Stashman, torej se obeta tak zelo zanimiv dogodek. Stvar se začne ob 21.30 na Kongresnem trgu. potem malo čez polnoč, 10 minut čez polnoč, se začne pa še after party v hangarnici Brooklyn, tam na ploščadi Ajdovščina. Ampak o tem bomo več spregovorili tudi v intervjuju. Zdaj pa kar pozdravim. Hello, Aiden, Andy.
Hey, Gran.
Nice to see you here. Yeah, this is your third time here in Ljubljana. You know, but it's still not nearly enough as some people would want to see you here, you know. Are there any nice or any particular things you remember about the first two visits?
Just the warm welcome, really. We've become quite good friends with Martin, who's sort of involved in the event this evening.
Right. You released one track for his compilation.
That's right,
well,
yeah.
The last time.
Mm-hmm. The Robo Voice, yeah.
I always remember the mountains as well. It was quite impressive.
When you're approaching the airport, you mean you can see down?
Yeah, it's stunning, really. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. No mountains in UK?
Not where we are, no.
In Wales, London? Wales and Wales. Scotland, there's some beautiful mountains, but right. Not so much in England.
Mm-hmm. You're both in London? Or
I'm in London.
I'm in East Anglia, where it's hilly, but not mountains. No.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So last time over here was 2007, so it's been 6 years. What were some of the highlights for Plaid, you know, in these last 6 years?
My daughter was born about six years ago.
Congratulations.
That's pretty much the highlight of my life.
I can imagine. What about
musically?
We did a film, Tekon, Kincrete.
This was just about,
I think that
made the same time,
2006, so yeah, that was around. We after that Heaven's Door and Scintilly was an album that we put out
a couple of years ago now,
yeah.
And you released another really short soundtrack last year.
Yeah, like some sound beds for an interactive project.
Mm.
Yeah.
So these were the highlights. Maybe some shows you played that really stuck in your mind.
It's always hard to remember.
You're playing class quite a lot, right?
Yeah. There hasn't been as since we were here last. Really, basically, nothing has touched that moment.
We peaked.
So that's 6 years ago.
You mentioned these two soundtracks, or two and a half, you know, for this. How did you say the last one? What kind of project was it?
It was an HTML5 interactive online project. So
but
it's
still kind of connected to quite heavily to visuals. I mean, to the visual side.
Although we weren't involved, obviously, in that side of the project, but.
Mm-hmm. But you know, you did a couple of soundtracks, so it seems that you're becoming kind of more interested in doing music for film. Is that so?
Yeah.
Is Plaid turning into a kind of film music composer duo?
I think we'll do music for whatever, really. I think it's you know, we've been doing music a long time now, so it's good to vary what you do, really. And we're not obviously new and doing full-on dance tracks, so doing something like soundtracks is perfect for us. Really.
Mm-hmm. And especially this aesthetics you're into, it seems quite. It suits film in general. I think not just your music, but this kind of electronic music in general, I think, because in recent year I know that Warp is putting more attention in Warp films, which is a bit different, but then we had like a couple of films by Sofia Coppola and she picked songs by Aphex Twin, Square Pusher, so it seems that this kind of music is kind of getting into film.
It does seem like it should naturally fit.
Is this, you know, all these events, is this just a coincidence, a random coincidence, or you getting involved in film music, or?
Well, we are actively pursuing film music now, and we haven't in the past. But I mean, the reason we've done two to date is pretty much down to the director, who was very into our music and championed us. It's a very difficult area to get into, and unless you know people.
So you were approached by a director.
The director basically championed us, and you know, I'm not sure that the, you know, finances behind either movies would necessarily have gone with us, because we don't have a track record, you know, so it's a bit of a risk, but he fought our corner.
What was the experience like doing music for film for the first time?
It's stress, getting the deadlines on time, but yeah, very fulfilling when you see the finished product. And it's such a huge team as well, normally it's just the two of us, so.
And apart from the stress, because of the deadlines, you know, I saw the Taking Concrete film, and it's obvious that the music is really fitted for the movie, since, you know, we're actually, you created music specifically for the particular scenes. You know, is it easier to write music when you have a starting point like that, or is it easier, for example, opposed to how you normally work for your studio albums, where you start from scratch? Is it maybe easier?
I think it's, you know, you have to really bear in mind what the director wants, because you can write, you can completely change the mood of a scene, obviously, with the soundtrack. So, again, we were lucky that we had a good communication with the director, and he was quite specific about moods and even sort of styles of music that he wanted for particular scenes.
Mm. Did this present more pressure for you?
The pressure was not so much. I mean, the pressure was really down to the sort of short periods we had to write some of the music. Nothing more than that, and we're just not used to, you know, having to churn out several tracks in a few days. Normally it's kind of months or years gestation.
It's quite pleasurable having some parameters to work with as well, because when you're working on your own album, you have nothing, you could do anything in theory.
And does this, you know, that you have all this space to explore in, you know, all these possibilities you can do on your own albums, does this mean that it slows you down in a way?
I think, you have so many options, it can be a bit of a killer, you're just not quite sure which direction, which is why it sometimes takes us a while to finish an album, because you have everything's possible, really. Obviously restricted by your own skills, really.
Right. Well, you've been around for a long time, so
I don't think you lack skills,
you know. So film music is something you look forward to doing more if there's opportunities.
If there's an opportunity,
if they'll let us, yeah.
Another thing that happened in these past 6 years is the rise of dubstep, and especially, you know, all the many kinds of interesting electronic music that came after that, kind of informed by all this dubstep thing that happened. It seems that electronic music is kind of going through a second renaissance in UK, doesn't it? What's your opinion on the current scene?
I think I think there's a little bit too much focus on specific scenes, and you know, as you say, we're quite old, and it's kind of all electronic music, really. I mean, the dubstep thing, it's down tempo and it's half step, but I mean, you know, there's other examples of electronic music that have used those kind of rhythms before. I find with the genres, it's more of a kind of media thing to build a scene and sell magazines and, you know, all of this kind of, it's not necessarily a sort of, you know, like a movement of, you know, people all moving in the same direction. Basically what happens is someone puts a record out and it's successful, and you get loads of other people emulating it. And you may have three or four people making similar music, and that's sort of enough these days to define a scene. I don't really see it so much. You know, there's good music in all of these areas of electronica, but it's all electronic music ultimately to me.
But, you know, this generic music turning up after some albums were released, this was quite common in the past as well, I think.
Totally. Remember when drum and bass came in, you know, and there was all the kids doing very pure electronic music, and like the next album was drum and bass, and are you writing from the heart or from the anticipation of what you're going to have in your wallet?
I imagine every new generation from now on will create a new type of electronic music, really, because it's the perfect music to go out and dance to, really. So I imagine from now on, every few years, the new kids will develop something.
Do we go in cycles?
I think so, yeah. I assume it's here to stay, really, unless they ban electricity.
Well, they say the 90s is back. Apparently, that's people keep telling me this in London. The 90s sound is back. So that potentially could be good.
In electronic music?
In electronic music, yeah. So that could be good for us.
Mm-hmm. What was the most interesting thing that happened in the 90s for you two?
In the 90s?
There were quite a few strong scenes back then. You
know, in terms of musical genres? Well, probably IDM, which I don't particularly like that term. The music that was lumped into that genre because it was the more left field kind of electronic stuff. Mm.
It seems that it was really IDM that sort of started moving the whole thing. I mean, when Warp turned up, before that, maybe end of 80s, some people started with their first... You two started making music end of the 80s, right? So you were basically one of the pioneers of this more dance-oriented...
Well, I think we've survived. I think there was a lot of other people making music at that point, but we've doggedly kind of kept doing it. So, pioneers would perhaps be a slightly strong term. There were lots of people doing similar music at the time, but you know, people give you kudos for longevity,
right? I was just talking to a colleague about this. You know, despite these new acts turning up and there's really lots of new music, it seems that particularly in electronic music, fans really respect, you know, the pioneers or the early producers. I mean, even for you, after 25 years, they're still showing interest in your music, waiting for new albums, so it must be nice. I think this is a bit different to other genres, you know, in electronic.
I don't know, I mean, if you look at sort of jazz, or not comparing the two, but it's the same thing, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, there are some artists that are respected throughout all their careers.
Prog rock, I think anything that maybe appeals to, that's not pop, necessarily pop music, has devoted followers who just sort of stick with it, and the new people coming in look backwards and try and understand where it came from. So I think it does happen in other genres.
Having said all this, are there any younger artists that intrigued you recently?
Yeah, I really like Flint Kids. And they're a duo from the UK, and another duo called Defunct Dialect, both excellent. I mean, kind of more leaning towards being sound designers almost than, you know, I mean, there's melody and rhythm, but, you know, I mean, it's just so beautifully produced, and I think that kind of sounds quite new to me.
This all, many new young artists coming up, when you look at the lineups of some cool festivals, electronic music festivals, and there's lots of new names. And in the past, I think just 5 or 10 years ago, there were many more older artists, you know, established artists. Does this somehow affect how much you get invited for playing live? You know, all this new stuff that is happening.
Oh, for sure, but I think that's natural. It would be horrible to keep the old dinosaurs going forever, really. So you gradually have to make way, which is fine.
Apart from your own, you produced music for other artists as well, maybe most notably for our most prominent, among them being Björk and Nicolette. And is that something that you would maybe do again, produce an album for another artist?
I think if there was an interest from both sides, I we haven't had any offers that I'm aware of, and I haven't particularly heard anything that I would want to get involved with recently.
But maybe it will happen.
It's possible. It's always possible.
You know, one of my favorite records you produced was album by Kushti. Do you remember? It's quite maybe 15 years ago or so. And it's quite obscure and not that known. I think this was the only full album, and maybe a couple more records.
Those are EPs, yeah.
How did this come up? Is there maybe an interesting story behind this project? Because I don't know the two guys, you know, in Kushti at all.
It was all something. We were all at school together, basically, so mm-hmm. with the people from Kushti. So it really came from that. The other two were hip hop obsessives. You know, that was all they mm-hmm. loved. So that's why it took that sound a little bit.
It's a shame it is so obscure, because I think I actually also really like that. The album, but I think there were issues with distribution and, you know, label stuff. So mm-hmm. A few people have commented that, you know, that
it's a nice record
and mm-hmm. you know, nobody ever heard it, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really
which
nice.
Is a shame.
You know, a couple of years ago, Warp celebrated 20th anniversary, and there were three compilations released. And I was surprised that, because there was one CD that was reworks of the Warp artists. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised that no one decided to rework one of your songs. How did that happen?
they reworked a Black Dog song that was ours. Really.
Right.
That's it. I guess no one liked it, they couldn't approach it. It was too technically perfect.
Right. You've been with Warp for 15 years now.
A lot longer than that.
Longer than that.
Well, I mean, 91. We signed in 91. As Plaid, we 96.
First,
yeah.
It was with Black Dog, and
yeah.
Your solo projects were released at other.
Well, we're basically in the same deal as we signed in 91 with a Black Dog, and when the band split, we continued with the label and also Ken did for one album.
Mm-hmm. So it's been over 20 years with Warp. I guess it's a nice relationship still.
It's quite a distant relationship, and there's quite a high turnover of people there, and I guess we're still in strong contact with Steve and Kev, who are kind of the old mm-hmm. guard. But
like a family.
It used to be. I mean. Many years ago.
It really got bigger than it used to be, right?
Yeah, well, they branched out into other areas of more popular music, and so I guess their focus has been different. I mean, to be honest, it's a great relationship for us, because we're not we don't particularly react well to kind of being hassled for stuff, so that basically they just leave us alone, and when we have a record we give it to them, and generally so far they've been happy with that.
Yeah, we're sort of part of the furniture, really. We've been there so long.
Nice. Since we are kind of getting towards the end, maybe can you tell us a bit about the set you're playing tonight?
We're gonna play a mixture of some new unreleased material, a few things from Sintilli, and probably a couple of older things. It's a kind of mix.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best of 20 years or 23
nice.
Years
or whatever. Sounds exciting. You know, the last time you played here was at a theater. I don't know if you remember that, but I think prior to the gig you announced that you were going to play a few new songs, and a couple of them I was really surprised about, you know, because they were almost straight techno, better. And I think that later or during the gig you even say that those tracks are going to be released in the future, but I never heard them. Were they released maybe under another
or something? No, we tend sometimes write material just for performance that we don't really think is suited for release.
And nowadays it turns up on YouTube, so you can't necessarily release it, because it's been around for a few years. So.
Mm. Right. Also, both times you were here before, Bob was with you doing visuals.
Yes.
You're still working with Bob, because
not for a few years now. No.
Mm-hmm. So it's just the two of you now.
Yeah, we provide the visuals as well these days.
Well,
yeah.
there's quite a few pieces tonight that are made by friends and colleagues and things like that. So yeah, we do a bit of it, and then.
A bit from before. This is another question I often ask is, did you see any live performances you were really impressed with recently?
Live performances? De La Soul I saw a few weeks back in the Forum in Kentish Town, and they were amazing.
You were both quite into hip-hop, right?
Well, we started out in the sort of early 80s, mid-80s, we were we were at school and very into hip hop and electro, which is essentially the kind of music that we right now really.
You know, it seems that quite a few artists associated with IDM were kind of growing through this hip hop music or electro hip hop that was coming in from the States. You know, mid '80s or so.
Yeah.
I guess you were part of.
It was a massive change. I mean, where we grew up, it was very much rock music, and so the whole hip hop culture was wonderful for us. You know, it's a completely different thing.
For the end, maybe can you perhaps reveal the near future for Plaid? You know, or perhaps working on a new album, not a soundtrack, but your own album.
We're nearly halfway. I don't know where we are with it, but we're working on one, and we hope to deliver it fairly soon.
Excellent. That is great news. So I hope, you know, we get to see you in Ljubljana the fourth time as well in the future. But let's now, of course, first enjoy this event tonight. So thanks for coming to the studio, and you know, I hope you have a nice time performing tonight.
No, I'm sure it'll be lovely. Yeah. It's a beautiful day, and hopefully that'll get a few people out.
Excellent. Maybe you can just tell us, because I will announce the after party as well, apparently, and you're DJing there as well.
Yeah, I said I would. I'm DJing, kind of, partially drinking.
Do you have any ideas in what direction it's going to go in?
I think, from what I hear, it's a quite small venue, so perhaps, it really depends on what the space is like, and I hear it's sort of half a bar, half a, you know, so maybe not full-on dance music, but it really depends what people are up for.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to improvise?
As much as possible, yeah.
Do you DJ a lot nowadays?
Is this
more an exception?
No, we DJ a bit, but I play records at home a lot. But we don't tend to kind of get booked as DJs that often. Mm-hmm. You'll see why.
A nice opportunity to see you.
I hope so.
Really, you have to end it because we are over time. So thanks again. Torej sta bila torej Andy in Paetis and dvojca Plaid. Kot rečen, danes večer nastopta na Kongresnem trgu ob 21.30, pred njima pa še Stashman in pa New Wave Sirija. Intervju sem pripravil Goran. Lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radija Študent.